Yo, I put it like wow, this that sound. These oaks don't work hard like me, I hope they know by now. Baobab, stand my ground. Throw these money trees, go overseas like Percy Tau. I make sure you stay around, quiet when I'm under loud. No negatives allowed, me positivity took a vow. I always play to win, don't anticipate loss. Mind always in the cloud, my boy, never think about the drop. Never ever ever think about the drop.
Welcome to It Sports Fans. It is the MKT show, and the show has returned. It's been 2 weeks. A lot of people saying, you said you'll be back last week. I was like, okay, well, I did what I don't like. And I have to be called out for being a hypocrite here. Is I didn't communicate in terms of, not, crisis is the wrong word, in suboptimal times. So here's the thing. We were supposed to be back live on YouTube last week, but the studio is not ready because these clowns messed up the studio and we're not back in there. So that's what happened there. So in that transition, I didn't have this mic. I didn't have anything to record and I had left it in the studio and then I couldn't access the studio. Blah, blah, blah. Terribly boring story. So I didn't have any equipment to record and I'm not going to record without a microphone, right? So this microphone is not what the studio quality, but this is my podcast microphone, but I didn't have it because one thing I'd done was I want to move the whole operation to the studio, blah, blah, blah. So there you have it. That's why the show has been gone for this long. And I'm genuinely sorry because I'm no excuses guy. And I'm just giving excuses now for a situation I could have controlled way better. And somebody said I'm like the ANC in terms of my service delivery, not delivering. So that was about as hurtful a thing as anyone can say. So I'm sorry to the people. Having said that, however, God, go subscribe to the YouTube channel. We are back on Monday. I believe it'll be the 20th. From a special location back on YouTube. It'll be 5 days a week starting next week, just for next week. Following that, we're not sure what's going on. As I've said, the studio is not ready here when we come home. So all sorts of things coming out there. On the 5th of June, I'll have a bigger announcement close to the time. There's something else very exciting happening. The news came in that 5th of June, we will get going with something that has been on the back burner for a while, but eventually Africa wide. So that's going to be fun. That's going to be a big announcement. Looking forward to sharing that with all of you who have been the mandem. The mandem. Shout out to those who called me out. And there was some noise. There was some noise in the DMs. And people try and be friendly because generally the vibe, there's a vibe here. But I'll accept it. You know, I'm not scared to have a go and dish it out. So when people say what they say, that, and people are right, by the way. You know, I'm happy to have a go at people, but people are right. Like, where's the show? You said it would be back. So I fell short of my own standards there. Not good enough. It's not good enough. There is no excuse for what just happened. We've returned, though. Exciting news. We're moving forward. We're planning for Germany. We're planning for France. See you in Paris. Terrace lifestyle. If you live there, that's going to be fun. Little thing called the Olympics. A lifetime dream. And it is my second Euros. Can't remember. I've been to a couple. I think it's my third Euros or second one. Last time was Germany as well. So, I mean, 06, what was that? That was the World Cup. Jeez. And then I was there in 08 when Spain won. So, that was Euros. 08 was Euros, eh? Yeah. So, it's my second one. Yeah. Just going through it now. It's my second Euros. So that should be fun. That should be good. I mean, Germany. Looking forward to that. I haven't been back to Stuttgart in a very long time. My father lived there. Some of my best memories as a teenager were there. So my dad moved there when I was, 11, 12? from Finland. So looking forward to getting down there. If I can get down to the Black Forest, a place that was amazing. Amazing memories. Now, actually, as I'm talking about now, some of the memories are coming back. Things I haven't thought about in a long time. Some great memories. So looking forward to being back in Germany, Bavaria in particular. I absolutely love Munich. I think it's one of the greatest cities in the world. And Stuttgart is just special because of those memories. So Euro should be fun. More to come on that. If you're on TikTok, look out for us over that period. The MKT show will be all over the TikToker, you know. Some cool announcements coming up there as well. So there's been a lot of slogging behind the scenes. Not that people care. Why am I telling you? Anyway, I'll tell you why I'm telling you. Without you listening, I wouldn't have been able to show people like TikTok. Like, hey, people are listening to the show. So shout out. My bad. And I'm genuinely sorry. Hopefully that's the longest break I ever take again. It's like a week and a half. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. It was basically 2 weeks. Call it 2 weeks. Call it what it is. 2 weeks. Anyway, pod's back. I'm back. We back. Just watch Man City beat Spurs 2-0. Listen, what were Arsenal expecting? You know? What were Arsenal expecting? You can't leave it in Spurs' hands. I mean, so I was talking to somebody yesterday. One's an Arsenal fan. The other is just a good mate. And I said, nah. Spurs are not stopping Man City. And he's like, yeah, but you played for them. I said, well, a job is a job. Or eat job, eat job. I was just doing my money. Getting my money, isn't it? So there's that. I mean, you leave it in Spurs' hands as Arsenal. And also, people are talking like Arsenal are going to lose this title and they've like lost two games. They've lost five games this season. They lost to Aston Villa at home. What are we talking about? Well, just don't lose to Aston Villa and you win the title. When was that? Like 3 weeks ago. So don't give me that. Do not give me that. They've lost five games in the league. City have lost three games. Like, what do you want? Making it our problem. And there's no prizes for trying. Sorry, this we gave it a go and we're so proud of them. It's like, no. Arsenal are just what they are. A nice, cute story. But it's 20 years now since winning a title. People are talking like it's a disaster that Arsenal didn't win it. And it's some dynastic club. Like, Arsenal are a big, nice institution. But they've never won the Champions League. They aren't like creme de la creme, you know? Like, Chelsea are... You can hate how it happened. That's fine. That's up to you. You can go cry to your uncle, blood. But Chelsea have two Champions League titles now. Like that's part of the creme de la creme. Five Premier League titles, you know? So it goes Man United, Chelsea, and then Man City if they get another Champions League, I would say. I mean, listen, Man City are going to win, what is this, 6 out of 7 titles now? It's going to be 4 in a row. Holy smokes. So there's no prizes for trying. I'm not giving that to Arsenal fans. Like, oh, you did yourselves proud. I mean, you did, relative to Arsenal standards, because you haven't won the title for 20 years, and you got close over the last two seasons. But Jose Mourinho won under Alex Ferguson. Pep Guardiola is not as good as Alex Ferguson. Sorry. Like, Sir Alex had the league in a chokehold for 13 years. He's got 13 titles. So, and Mourinho came and broke that. And Arsene Wenger won in the Mourinho era twice, by the way. So don't tell me it's not possible in a dynastic era to win multiple times. Right? I don't want to hear this Mikel Arteta, he's a young manager. Here's my thing. If you're old enough, you got to be good enough. Or if you're good enough, you're good enough, right? You're old enough. Like, don't give me that. Do not give me that. I am not having it. I'm not having the Arteta thing. It's absolute, complete nonsense, I'm telling you. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Arsene Wenger won the league, three times. Sorry, it wasn't twice, it was three times. In peak Fergie. So is Arteta like elite or not? Like, sorry, I'm sick and tired of the excuses that that guy's getting. Don't tell me he's a young manager. Like, Jose Mourinho came fresh out of Porto and dethroned everything. Broke the entire wheel, and football's never been the same again because of what Mourinho did. In England, certainly. Like, are you that guy or not? I don't get it. Like, this Jurgen Klopp loving as well. I'll talk about Jurgen Klopp's legacy as the season ends. We'll do all of that more in the off-season. Arteta, my thoughts on that. It's just this Arsenal narrative. I don't get it. I don't get it. And you know what it is? It's because Man City, something feels off about this Man City thing. I don't know if it's the Chargers thing. But nobody's really offended or like, oh man, we'll never catch them. There's something that doesn't elicit emotion in people about Man City. Now, I don't know if it's, you know, Chelsea were winning European titles and FA Cups and things like that before the Roman money, right? So Chelsea feel like a part of the establishment. I don't know for Man City where it feels a little bit fake, you know, it's like everyone knows this isn't real, you know, the way you've put it together doesn't feel like anything. And on top of that, the charges, have you cheated? So that's never going to go away. But it doesn't feel like anyone's like, oh, Man City is so dominant. It's like everyone's talking about Chelsea. Everyone's talking about Man United. Everyone's talking about Arsenal. Those are bigger storylines than Man City are going to make history and win four in a row. It doesn't feel evocative. And that might just be me. But I've tried to look on social media, like what general fan sentiment is. Nobody seems to really be like in the dumps about it or feeling incredible about it, except Man City fans, you know? So it's been an interesting kind of ride to see why no one seemingly cares, really, about Man City. It's a very, very interesting one. Anyway, what are we talking about? We'll talk, man, Wayne Rooney made some comments. We'll talk United and their plight, their loss to Arsenal, and just my thoughts on what Wayne Rooney said and things we've spoken about on the pod before. And then I've got a mailbag, and we'll get out of here. Remember to subscribe, YouTube, if you're on TikTok, get on the TikToker, you know, for the youngsters. I'm not going to be doing any dances or anything, whatever people are doing on TikTok. If you're on X, go and subscribe there, MKT Show. I'm MKT Inspires, by the way, on all platforms. And look out, YouTube, back Monday, 20th of May. Go and subscribe, like, share, subscribe. If you'd like to advertise on the show, it is an option. MKT at the MKT Show. All right, let's get into the show. What have I been doing? Training harder than ever. That's not true. I've been training. So I was actually supposed to be in Saudi Arabia. I've told the story. Boring. But I didn't go. So I decided, you know, let me just stay in shape. So I've taken my training down to 4 days a week instead of 6 days a week. And it's been good. 40 Ks a week, maintaining, feeling good. That's all I've been doing. Working, training. I've seen nobody in the last 2 months. Working, training. Mr. Boring. Like a metronome. Like chalk. That's all I'm doing. I'm just chalk. You know, just write on the whiteboard, put it back down. End of the lesson. Rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat. So Erling Haaland scored 2 goals tonight, and he takes it to 63 goals in 65 Premier League matches. And you know what I'm hearing a lot of, especially on social media, here and read, is generational talent. Kylian Mbappe, generational talent. Neymar, generational talent. Like, is Neymar maybe the most overrated player in the world? Like, what is the Neymar thing? And you know why I get the name, I think, is he's what the youngsters today want to be. He's the dream. Vibes, and he gets plaudits. But I'm sorry, being the top scorer for Brazil when you started at 19. So firstly, that's amazing to play for Brazil at that age. But Ronaldo did that, like, it's not that amazing. And he's the top scorer for Brazil. But he's never won the World Cup. So it's not like he's a legend in the footballing sense. But I think there's another level to Neymar. He's the fun guy who was actually quite good for like 2 or 3 years. So I've never understood the generational thing, because at no stage has Neymar been the best player in the world. Like Ronaldinho at 21 years old was the best player in the world. World Cup 2002, I think he was 23. But we already knew at PSG there was like this guy on the way. And then World Cup 2002 happened. He chips David Seaman and the rest is history. He comes to Barcelona and for 4 or 5 years he was unstoppable. He was unstoppable. He was the greatest force. Like if you weren't young enough to, or if you're not old enough to have seen Ronaldinho live, my God, like that's a generational talent. He dominates the generation. In an era of Xavi, Iniesta, like they were cooking as well, you know? Like Pavel Nedved, David Trezeguet, Del Piero, Pirlo, Seedorf. Like football was cooking, eh? It was cooking then. Henri, Eto. Like football was on. Like 2001 to 2006, football was on. And Ronaldinho said, I'm the man here. 2 Ballon d'Ors. He was the guy. That was a generational talent. Neymar was not a generational talent. I'm sorry. Kylian Mbappe is not a generational talent. When you're the generational talent, and I hear it way too often, generational means you transcend in your generation. And in every generation, there's only one or two. Like Cristiano Ronaldo, Leo Messi, generational talents. Right? Like Arjen Robben, generational talent. Frank Lampard, generational talent. And even then, Lampard wasn't so precocious. You know, he took a while to really get onto the boil. But that's a generational talent. Like, to be in the top 5 for assists and goals in the English Premier League history, like, that's insane. And he played number 8. But even then, you know, I like Wayne Rooney. By English standards, generational talent, but he wasn't Ronaldinho. So I can't say generational talent by global standards. By British standards, yes. He's Wayne Rooney's the Paul Gascoigne of his era. Just as Phil Foden will go down as the best English player of this generation right now. He's like, by English standards, but nobody is confused and thinks, oh, Phil Foden is the best player in the world. No one's confused. No one's saying he's Erling Haaland or even Mbappe. But Kylian Mbappe is not generational. My point is this. Erling Haaland is the only generational player in this era. It's too late for Kylian Mbappe now. He's 25, failed miserably with maybe the most expensive team ever assembled. I haven't looked this up, but the amount of money they spent on him. Remember, they spent 120 million on him. What is that, like 5 years ago? In fact, it was like 180 million or something like that they paid Monaco. Remember, it was like a loan. In the end, it was like 180 million. But that was like 5 years ago. 6 years ago, when he was 19 years old. So include that amount. So however they stay FFP compliant. But then the amount of money they've surrounded him with to try and win. Remember, they had Neymar and Messi at a stage. They've now got the Ramos guy, 90 million. I forget who the other black striker is they got. Guy cost 90 million. It's unbelievable how much money they've spent around him. But Erling Haaland is the only generational talent in this era. We've just come out and witnessed 2 generational talents, maybe 3 in Arjen Robben. I think Arjen Robben is the closest to those big 2 in this previous era for me. But Erling Haaland's the only generational talent. 63 goals in 65 Premier League games. Wow. And I was wrong on that, by the way. I thought he's going to come here, he's going to learn. But he's the total package. Like, as a number 9 in any era, that this is the guy you want. Pace, power, technical ability, long shots in the box, headers, doesn't matter. He'll hold it up, clean first touch. Like, super clean first touch. You know, he maybe doesn't have the mix of dynamism that a Didier Drogba does, but as a fox in the box, my God. And he's still, you know what's scary is, this isn't the complete version, because he's still only 23 years old. Imagine when he's 26, 28. Like when he's, because you know, as athletes, his body will really, like he's still a bit lanky. He's going to get his man body. Like Drogba, when he came to the Premier League, that second season in particular, he was like 28. Like that's a man's body. So Erling Haaland's still actually going to grow into his body. If you look at him, he's still quite gangly, you know. 23 is really young, especially for a guy that size. He's still going to fill into his body, and that's going to be scary. And he's still going to get better. There's little things that at that level he'll get better at. The movement, the timing, you know, the quality of movement in the box. Because for a guy like that, you can't expect him to run like Sergio Aguero. But his quality of movement will only get better. His touch will only get better. His finishing will only get better. His link-up play will only get better. And he's already, by a country mile, the best player in the world right now. He is by a country mile. You know, there's a simple rule in football. The better you are, the higher up the pitch you play. Don't listen to Roy Keane and all these people. They can say what they want. It is simple. The best players play up top. He is doing the most difficult thing in the world, which is to put the ball in the back of the net, better than anybody in the world has done since Leo Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. In the Premier League. Wow. So I don't want to hear anything about Kylian Mbappe, because all he does is play well for France and flops with PSG. Haaland, first season, delivers the treble, becomes the key to delivering the treble. Sorry, like that's generational. They're going to do the double this year. They're going to smash Man United. They're going to win the league, fourth Premier League title in a row. 65 games, 63 goals. Erling Braut Haaland, the only living generational talent. He has to win the Ballon d'Or. He has to win it. He's the best player in the world. I don't understand why people are saying Vinicius Jr. Because winning the Champions League shouldn't be that. Like, that shouldn't make you the best player in the world. Scoring 63 goals in 65 games in easily the most challenging league in any sport in the world makes you the best player in the world. The only generational talent in the world. Wowzers. Erling Braut Haaland. Let's go over some cricket, hey. You know what I'm very confused about? I was watching Virat Kohli, whatever team he plays for, chasing down 200 in a T20 game. They chased it in 16 overs. And then I was having a look, because I refuse to watch IPL. I thought to myself, hold on, 200 in 16 overs. That's insane. And then I saw the Will Jacks innings, and they made like 230 or something. And then I checked, 200 is normal now. Like I was seeing a couple of, like Travis Head is doing it as well. 200 is normal now. And I thought to myself, who's enjoying this? Firstly, why do you pay a high price in IPL for bowlers? No one, if Dagiso Rabada and these guys and Keshav Maharaj can't be useful and keep a score to 160, why do you pay for bowlers in IPL? I just don't get it. Like only have all-rounders at worst. For me, play 11 batsmen. Like every innings, just have a tilt at 200. And then just bowl dot. Because high-quality bowlers are going for 13 and over all the time. So everyone's going to go 10 and over, right? So who cares if you can bowl or not? Because it's not a contest between bat and ball. They prepare those roads, and the grounds in India are tiny. They are so small. So it's not a competition between bat and ball. And it's like, but maybe I'm out of the loop. I'd love to hear what people have to say, but who is enjoying this? Who Who is spending 40 overs watching? Because essentially now all you're watching for is the last five overs of the second innings. Like, can these guys chase 210? So the bowlers are completely irrelevant. Then what's the point? The whole thing about cricket is that it's a battle between bat and ball. So, like, am I old man screaming at the clouds here? Because who's enjoying, like, who's this for? Like, are young people loving this? Like, I'm sorry. I've said it before, and now I'm more serious than ever. Like, the only cricket that's left to me that matters is the Ashes. That's only every 2 years. And if you've lost... So I was speaking to somebody who's a massive cricket fan. Let me just say this. The other day. And I hadn't spoken to him in a while. We were talking about some stuff that we're going to be doing together. And he's a big cricket fan. So we started off chatting about cricket. And he's like, oh no, I don't watch IPL. And I'm like, so this guy is actually in... Let me tell you how much this guy loves cricket. He's inventing a different cricket game. He's invented a whole new version of cricket. That's how much he just loves cricket. And he's like, no, I don't watch it. And I was like, what do you mean? And we'd never spoken about it. And he's like, no, well, it's not a contest between bat and ball. Like, I just don't enjoy this. And I thought, oh my God, we are two hardcore cricket fans. Like, I'm a hardcore cricket fan. I challenge you in the world to find a more hardcore cricket fan than me. And both of us have been turned off by IPL. And the other thing that was interesting that he said to me was, you know, he doesn't know, he can't get behind anything. Like, who does Quinton de Kock play for? Next thing he's in India playing for whoever, and then he's in South Africa playing for whoever, then he's in, you know, in Australia, Big Bash or whatever, I don't know what he plays, doing that, whatever. And it's like, he can't get behind that. You know, and I thought, yeah. And I said to him, look, the narrative of tribe has been lost. Because the nice thing about the Ashes is it is nice to kind of say, and it's kind of why in the Premier League football, they'll always love one of their own more. It does feel a little bit better in the war narrative, because it is a tribal thing. You've got your pieces, no matter what they may be, and you've got to figure out the chessboard with your limitations. So when you're an international team, you can't go and buy Quinton de Kock and Dwayne Bravo and Travis Head. Like, you can't do that. So when you're England, you have to pick the best of the English talent, with an asterisk, of course, with the way modern movement. But it's still pretty difficult to get to play for another team, right? I think it's like 5 years occupancy before you can play or whatever. But with IPL and stuff, it's so transient. Like they don't care. And one of the things about sport is, if you really want people to care, the players have to care. That's what the NFL has right. That's what the Premier League has right. The players care. The players play and they show up and it feels like it matters. With the IPL, it's just filling space. Like, who's enjoying this? And I said the same thing. I said, look, the narrative of tribe has been lost. Because it's clear, if you're English, I'm defending my tribe. You're Australian, you're defending your tribe with whatever you got. Let's go at it. And our generals, quote unquote, coaches, you know, executive staff are going to position the pieces on the chessboard in the best way to gain leverage and advantage. You can get behind that. But this, I'm sorry, I'm out. Like, would I go to the IPL to watch? It does seem like a vibe to watch live, and I would probably go and work there if I had the opportunity. But I'm not watching it. I'm sorry, I'm out. I'm not interested. I want to know who is. If you've lost two hardcore cricket fans, let me tell you what this guy said, actually. He said, you know what? You know how much they turned him off? And this has to be taken within the correct context. Because I want to be honest. I don't watch women's cricket. I don't know what's going on. Like, the product isn't for me. But he said he IPL turned him off so much that he started watching women's cricket. And he's like, yeah, I actually want to see what's happening with South Africa. So he started watching women's cricket, which he didn't do before, is what he told me. And he's like, yeah, this feels more real. Like, it's a substandard product in his mind, because he loves the elite men's game. But he's like, I'd rather watch this because it feels real than watch IPL. Love to hear your thoughts. Like, at MKT Inspires, if you're a cricket fan, are you enjoying this? And if you do enjoy the IPL, because I want to, trust me, I want to find a reason to love any cricket. So I'm not going to watch the Proteas because it's run like a spaza shop and I refuse. I've got better things to do than to watch amateurs. I'm not going to watch amateurs amateur. not me. The Pisa Clayton. I'm very busy. No. I'm not doing it. So the Proteas don't care about us. Like, whatever. They're not going to pay the players. The politicians have stolen all the money. Whatever. So who's watching the IPL? And give me a reason that you enjoy it. And genuinely, I will accept any reason and try and think about it. Like, what is the entertainment factor? Where's the jeopardy? Do you watch IPL? Are you a cricket fan? And what am I missing? What am I missing? Or is it just only cricket only matters in India moving forward? Who cares what the rest of us say? Because we know what the next move is, right? It's to America. They want to monetize the Major League Cricket. And hey, more power to them. It's grow the business. I don't mind that. I'm philosophically communist and fiscally capitalist. Let's put it like that. So I love business. I love the notion of creating jobs and creating dynamic ways to spread wealth. And if the business of the IPL is growing worldwide, what do I know? Then who cares? I must just watch Test cricket and shut the hell up. But that's what I'm doing now. So I'm going to talk less and less about cricket unless we do like a betting podcast or whatever. So hint, hint, that is coming up. But I don't know, man. I don't know. Who is? Please, MKT Inspires. Are you watching IPL? What do you enjoy about it? And what should I look for to enjoy? Because I have not watched a game, by the way. While I'm eating dinner, if I don't have a podcast left over to listen to, I'll just put the cricket on just to see what's going on. With very little interest, either way. And I'm not like, oh, what a shot or whatever. I'm just like, oh, okay. Wow, 200 off. 15 over. That's amazing. Okay, let me finish my avocado and get on with my night. Love to hear your thoughts. MKT Inspires. All right, let's go on to this. Wayne Rooney said after Arsenal beat Man United at Old Trafford, what a disgusting performance by Man United. I mean, Amrabat played well, but in the final third, it was amateur. It was championship level. But Wayne Rooney said something that I thought was very revealing. And Wayne Rooney will know. Like, Wayne Rooney is not going to come out and say this. And now Marcus Rashford and their PR companies, that you can't say anything to Wayne Rooney. Like, I don't care if you don't like Wayne Rooney. He was one of the toughest bastards in the history of the English Premier League. Like, Wayne Rooney is a proper street baller. There's no one who can question whether Wayne Rooney was, as the youth say, about it. Like, Rooney was about it. He was the guy you sent to the front line. If it was war, you knew him, Roy Keane, Nemanja Vidic. You knew what time it was with Wayne Rooney. Wayne Rooney's not a guy who you have to wonder, like, is this guy on the fence? Kim, Carlos Tevez. When Man United, Wayne Rooney was that guy. So now, this is an icon, a generational talent in England. You can't say anything. Wayne Rooney said he believes that there are players that are hiding behind their injuries. He said that on Sky Sports. It's not like he said it on Twitter and he's some bitter guy. He's Wayne Rooney. When that guy says it, it's not, then you know, it's not like journalists trying to get clicks. Wayne Rooney is very rarely in the media. Like, I don't even know what he's doing there. He's like one of the least articulate humans I've ever heard, like him and Paul Scholes. But Wayne Rooney is not making that up. Wayne Rooney knows people at the football club. Wayne Rooney also knows what it's like to be at the front. He knows what's going on. Him and Roy Keane then went on to discuss saying they know of players who will save it for, you know, there's the European Championships coming up, obviously Euros, and the FA Cup final against Man City. And Wayne Rooney feels that's what players are doing. And I thought, you know, I believe him. Within the context of this Man United team, I've watched Man United now for a decade. And I've been saying it on this podcast for years. I'm like, what is going on at this football club? Forget about the talent. The character of players is embarrassing. Like, who these people are. Forget about how they play. Who the people are is embarrassing. That was like a big thing about, you know, he's not a Manchester United player. Like, remember that. You could say that and go, oh, I know what you mean. It's one of those things, right? Like, Nemanja Vidic, yeah, that's a Man United player. Like, Carlos Tevez, that's a Man United player. Cristiano Ronaldo, Michael Carrick, like, that's a United player. And it's not something tangible. It's almost like if your girlfriend says to you, you say to her, I love you, and she says, how do you love me? You don't explain how I love you, you know? Like, that ruins it. You go, I love you so much. And then that's enough, you know? There must be that je ne sais quoi in between, you know? The unknown, the power of the unknown. So you don't have to tacitly be able to chat. It's not a table. It's not a wall. But you know what you mean. Like, oh yeah, that's a United player. I have not seen a single one since Alex Ferguson walked out the door. And don't give me Bruno Fernandes. Don't even start. Because first and foremost, effort is not good enough at Manchester United. That should be a part of the package. The quality is the entrance fee. The quality and effort is the entrance fee. And then if you want to go to that transcendent level of Rooney, Keane, Beckham, then of course you've got to have that, the icing on top. I haven't seen a proper Man United player since Alex Ferguson left. Not a single one. Maybe Zlatan, but he was past it by then. So for Wayne Rooney to say that is damning. And I believe him. It leads me to say this. There is no point if a club legend who knows people inside the club, he knows what's going on. And he knows these players. He knows Rashford. He played with Rashford. He knows what time it is. If you're a Man United fan, you cannot say it's time to fire Erik ten Hag. The players aren't good enough. The players are not good enough. Do not fire the manager again. Like, it's clear now, one of your own club legends who's not that far removed, although if you look at Wayne Rooney's face, you would think he played 30 years ago. But Wayne Rooney's not that far removed. He knows what's going on there. You know where Man United made the mistake? After Oli, it was clear what was happening. Because they fired Van Gaal, they fired Jose Mourinho, then they fired Oli. It was clear something was rotten. What Chelsea did with Todd Boehly, people hated it at the time, and it looks silly. But get rid of the rot. All of it. Remember, Chelsea just sold like 13 players. Like, we are not interested in this. Clean slate. These are a bunch of losers. Man United kept bringing one player, two player, three players, and keeping the rotten core. So they're coming into 12, 13 players that are just rotten and got the previous manager fired. Like, the bulk of the squad, they got Oli fired. No matter what they say, they got Oli fired. And remember, Roy Keane in 2019 said, he said, these players will throw the manager under the bus He's watched it happen twice. It was Van Gaal, Mourinho. And he said, they will do it again. And they did it to Ollie. And Man United didn't listen. And now they're doing it to Erik ten Hag. At what stage do you stop? But this is where you need decisive leadership. And Todd Boehly was decisive. Like, no, this is not going to work. We don't do losing. Like Todd Boehly says, I'm looking after 70 billion. Myself and Clear Lake, we look after 70 billion. We know what losing looks like. Get it out of here. That's one of the things, right? Is people often think, bring in new stuff. Get rid of the old first. And then you bring in the new stuff. And Man United didn't want to take their medicine then. Now they have to have heart surgery. Because that's life, right? You can take your lump of medicine and do what you got to do up front. Or there's going to come a time when the balloon payment comes. Literally and metaphorically. That balloon payment can be a heart attack if you don't exercise and look after yourself. It can be a failed marriage if you're doing gnolls at the beginning. You can apply that however you want. But at some stage, you're going to have to take that medicine. Or you're going to have the surgery. Take the medicine up front. Man United should have done that after Ollie and said, mm-mm, this ain't it. Because what Chelsea did was say, okay, the 5-year cycle to success starts last year. You can critique, you can do, but look where they are now. Even if the upward curve is a false dawn, at least they've got the process started to say, okay, we're going to go with youngsters and we've cleared out the rot. At least now with Chelsea, they can after the season go, okay, here's the 6 or 7 players we know now. We can surround these guys with talent and they'll win. And the next year will be another, okay, it might only be 3 or 4 players that are the core guys. And then in year 3, the team will mature. Man United haven't even gotten started. So even if Man United start this year, let's just say, the problem is your highest paid player is Casemiro, who's finished, who I told you where I was right. I told you last year that his legs were gone. No one listened. He's on £300,000 a week. Outside of Saudi, who's going to buy that? The biggest problem is Marcus Rashford. Is the problem with paying mediocre talent big money is how do you hold the rest of the guys accountable? Because Kobbie Mainoo and them are going to look at Man United and say, but he was drinking in Belfast and you paid him the most money. Why are you telling me to be responsible? What do you think Hoyland's saying? Hoyland's looking at these guys going, why should I be disciplined when you've got Jadon Sancho coming late to practice every day? Well, what are we talking about? And that rots the club, right? And Wan-Bissaka, like, it's just not good enough. That's not good enough. Harry Maguire, not good enough. £80 million. Like, you can't have that. So the problem is, how do you move Harry Maguire? How do you move Marcus Rashford? Who the hell's going to pay Marcus Rashford? Because Marcus Rashford is a valuable commodity. He's the face of Nike in England. Who the hell's going to pay £80 million Marcus Rashford and give him a £300,000 contract? PSG aren't going to do that because they signed that Barcola now. So where does he go? Because Marcus Rashford, in reality, I just do not understand it. He really should be playing at like Brighton. He's like Danny Welbeck level with unbelievable PR. I don't know what people see there. Like, I've never understood it. I don't understand now. He had a decent season 3 seasons ago, but I just don't get it. He's got some pace, but other than that, what is it about Rashford? He has no quality. He has a terrible first touch. Might be the worst decision maker I've ever seen. One of the most selfish players in the league. What is the quality about him? And he's not a youngster. He's 25 now. Like, you should be matured now, and you should be leading into the next generation. You can't have Phil Foden playing quality football. And it's not about the players around you. Like Kobbie Mainoo, when you're watching, you're like, oh, that's a high quality. Everything he does is like, wow, that is elite. First touch, elite. Movement, elite. People try and press him. You see how he's got that Modric kind of drop the shoulder, snake through. Everything about Kobbie Mainoo. It's like, wow, Man United are terrible. And that guy's doing it in the hottest kitchen in the world. It's called central midfield. And Kobe Mainley, super composed. Like, give me the ball in a phone booth, no problem. Oh, I can see, okay, that's a quality player. So it's not about Phil Foden having De Bruyne around him. It's just like, what are you doing? Because as football fans, we can watch and go, you know what? Even though he's fat boy slim, like, you can watch Luke Shaw and go, when he plays, bloody hell, that's a player. Like, it's like the left-hand side for United. Luke Shaw, let me tell you how good he is. He makes Marcus Rashford look good when he plays. You know on the left, it's a shutdown, as Afrikaans people say. It's a shutdown. Complete and utter shutdown on the left. I mean, now he's fat boy slim, he's always injured. So that's a whole problem. Stop eating hamburgers, Luke, and actually get in the gym. But Man United in a disaster class era, Luke Shaw has just been, when he plays, just like, that's one of the best left backs in Europe. They like him or not, like, he is a quality player, and you see it every time when he's on the field. So it doesn't matter. In fact, it even looks better when you play at Man United. It's like, oh wow, that guy's so... You watch Kobe Mainoo. I'm like, why can't Bruno Fernandes be that composed and stop the Hollywood passes? Like, how is an 18-year-old the only guy who wants to link passes, play calm, you know, and control the tempo? Like, he's 18. Why is he controlling the tempo? I think Kobe Mainoo is a wonder kid. I watched him against Arsenal. Like, Arsenal's the best midfield in the league as a unit. He ran circles around Declan Rice. He didn't give them a kick. He did not give Odegaard a kick. He was all over them in the midfield. And he plays progressive football. It's not like Mainoo's playing conservative football. I think he's a number 8 rather than a 6 has been. And I think Amrabat helped him. But Mainoo's been this since the season, right? Beginning of the season, you've seen. So don't give me that. Don't give me he's not around quality. Don't give me that with Rashford. He's nowhere near good enough. Who's going to buy that guy? Who's going to buy Maguire? Who's going to buy Aaron Wan-Bissaka? He costs 50 million. He must be on 200,000 at least. So, for me, Man United are in trouble. But don't fire the manager. That's not, like, for once, that's not the right move. You heard Erik ten Hag, he said, and he's communicating, right? These managers are clever. He said these owners will have common sense. No matter what, from today, so 2024, so even next season, right, Man United are 30 points behind Man City. So not only that, but you're also 5 years behind in your cycle. Because this, let's say Ineos do the right thing next year and get rid of 12 players, which is what Chelsea got rid of, like, what, 15 in one season? Don't tell me it can't be done. Like, Chelsea just took their medicine and said, after what Marina and Peter Cech and Lampard did, no thank you. Let's get rid of all of this. This is nonsense. If Man United have the chutzpah to do it next season, right, you still are going to take 3-4 years to get it right. Because Chelsea were just 2 years out of a Champions League win. So that vibe of winning was around the football club. You know, like, Chelsea are a winning machine. They have been for 2 decades. Like, Man United have been in trouble for a decade. Like, big trouble for a decade. So the vibes of the club are not immaculate. And now your first team are terrible. Like, terrible. So even if you start next year, you are still 5 years away. Because unless you're super ruthless like Todd Boehly was, they're probably going to try and do it over 2-3 years. Nothing at Man United feels elite. This is genuinely probably the first time in a long, long time where you can say there's not a single world-class player. And I want to call Luke Shaw world-class, but he never plays. And I tell people all the time, in everything, availability is the greatest ability. The guy never plays. I can't call you world-class if you don't play. You have to play. Like, you got to be available in order for me to call you world-class. Because fitness is an ability, by the way. In and as much as a good first touch and finishing is an ability, like, health is an ability. Like, people must... It's not like a luck thing. It's one of those things, like, can this human stay fit? Are they, like, because we all work with people that are sickly, right? Like, she's phoning in every day, whinging about her whatever. Like, there's sickly people. You're not useful to me. If you're not available, you're not useful. So you can't be world class. You can't be a good husband or wife if you're not present. Sorry. Like, sorry. Sorry about it. They don't have a single world-class player at Manchester United. How insane is that? Their best player is Kobbie Mainoo. I want you to think about that. With the amount of money they've spent over the last decade. Their best player is Kobbie Mainoo. Their best player maybe in the last decade is Kobbie Mainoo. So forget after the United lost, so the Fergie era, their best player is Kobbie Mainoo. Isn't that insane? Or you could go with Luke Shaw, but again, do you know Luke Shaw's missed 65% of the games he's been available for at Man United since he arrived? 65%. It's insanity. Absolute insanity. And by the way, I was looking the other day, Luke Shaw's like 28 years old. How insane is that? Feels like he's 60. That is absolutely hysterical. Luke Shaw's 28 years old. How insane is that? Don't fire the manager. Man United on big, big trouble. Do not fire the manager. Wayne Rooney has told you now that it's these players. Listen to him. He's a legend. He has nothing to lose. Love to hear your thoughts. What are your thoughts about Man United? Who's the top five players you'd get rid of? MKT inspires. Slide in the DMs. Speaking of sliding in the DMs, we'll finish off on this. Let's finish off on the mailbag. Good old Nschlanschla Gachin. So Utlanta says, MKT, hope you're well, brother. regarding the question of the 1,000 Rand, I think it would be fair to give it to the second place person of the Football League. By the way, I'm in a relegation dogfight. I say this because the original premise of the money was for subscribers, and unfortunately you are the host of the MKT show, so would be out of order to give the money to yourself. Some context there. There's 1,000 Rand that's going to be given away as a prize for winning the MKT show Fantasy Football League. I'm no longer first. I don't think I can win it. So if I do, though, turn it around. I don't know what people think. I think if I win it, I should keep the money. Like, again, what are we doing? The Mikel Arteta situation. There's no prizes for coming second. You either win or you lose. So I'll give that some thought if I win it. So Douglas goes on to say, have your thoughts changed on Pochettino seeing the latest results? Red reports that the players are backing him, which I think is important to build going forward. Here are my thoughts on Pochettino. If you're not going to fire him, you have to extend his contract because he's only got 1 year left. And if he's got 1 year left, you can't really ask him to keep control of the football club. It doesn't give the locker room dynamic the right feel. He needs to be in charge. In order for him to be in charge, he needs to have the power to go, I'm going to be here for 3 more years. Having said that, it's still a terrible season. This is not Tottenham. Like, I'm not going to accept at Chelsea that coming top six just because it's a new era is acceptable. Like, it's not good enough. That must be made clear to Mauricio Pochettino. This has not been good enough. You know what he is not? Is a very good coach. He's more of a vibes and culture guy. Like, I was always wondering, how come this guy's never won trophies? He's not a tinker man. He doesn't do the X's and O's. And it's been very clear that he stumbled into inverting Cucurella against Aston Villa. And that's kind of turned the results around. If you're not a Chelsea fan, I don't want to bore you with it. But essentially, he started inverting Cucurella against Aston Villa. Chelsea should have won. Cole Palmer misses an absolute sitter one-on-one. But he's not an elite coach. He's a vibes guy. He's an elite vibes guy. So for me, it must be clear that although not happy, I don't want Chelsea to sack him because otherwise we become chaos club. You can't go for 3 managers in 4 years. No, you can't go Lampard, then Potter, then Poch, then the next guy. It's going to be three managers in 4 years. You don't want to become Chaos Club. That's not how you become elite. But here's the other thing. The reality I've accepted is Chelsea will not win the Premier League with Mauricio Pochettino as the manager. But I say this to everyone who will listen. Not everybody you marry, also not everybody you date, has to be your wife. Some people are just girlfriend material. They serve that time of your life. They'll teach you lessons. So not everyone you date has to be your wife, by the way. And not everyone you date can be your wife. It's not how it works. Mauricio Pochettino is good for this development. He's a disciplinarian. He's going to ask big questions of these young players. And what he'll do, because of his demanding nature, is bind this team quite a lot. Because he will make them suffer. He's a very demanding human. You can see that he was a captain back in the day when he was playing at Espanyol and PSG. So he was a real leader within the Argentine setup as well. So I would keep him. And even I'd be happy for Chelsea to keep him for 3 years. Because with this young core, it may not be ready to win, but you can certainly lay the foundation. And Pochettino is that guy. He's a vibes guy. He did it at Southampton. He did it at Spurs. And he can do it here. It's why PSG never worked for him. Because he struggles with the superstars. Because you know why? He's not a very good tinker man. He's not very good at that. He's not very good at putting great players in positions to win it. That's not his thing. He's so tactically... I mean, Arteta ran circles around him. Like, there's no way Arsenal should be beating Chelsea 5-0. There's still great talent at Chelsea. Be honest. If you're honest with yourself, like, you look at that Chelsea lineup, you go, and don't give me the injuries thing. Glasner at Crystal Palace with a way worse team. Even Chelsea's second team that Pochettino's had turned things around tactically in two games. But don't sack him. Don't become Chaos Club. He's Mr. Right Now. That's all you need. You need Mr. Right Now. And he's right for this developmental phase. He's a good development type of coach because the vibes are immaculate with him. Demanding, and he will connect with players. But he's not going to win Chelsea anything. So I'm not ecstatic, but for the phase we're in life, I'm happy. I'm happy and I think he should stay and I think they should extend him. I would like Pochettino for another 2 seasons. And it's bitter for me to say it. I hate this mentality. Chelsea won't win. We will not win under Pochettino. But we will develop and then see where we are in 2 years. Glanzler goes on to say, I also saw a hot take online about Jamie Vardy having a better career than Harry Kane. Not a better player though. What are your thoughts on this? I don't think that's really a hot take. He has had a better club career. He won a Premier League title. Do you realize Harry Kane doesn't have a team trophy? Hysterical. Went to Germany, thought he was going to do it, and then they Spursed it. I don't really think it's a hot take. He has had a better career than Harry Kane. Individual prizes are nice, but players don't play for that. The elite players don't play for that. Is Harry Kane a better player? I don't think that's a question. Is he going to have better stats? Is he one of the greatest goal scorers Europe has had in the last 6-7 years? Of course, we know this. But there's no prizes. There's no prizes for sentiment, hey? They're like Mikel Arteta and your dyed hair. I think Arteta dyes his hair. Cool guy, look, and playing good football. No one cares. You didn't win the league. And no one cares that Pep was here and Jurgen Klopp, you won one title. Sorry. This is the big leagues. There are no life lessons to be learned in the big leagues. I'm sorry. I will say that I will die on this hill. There are no life lessons in the Premier League. The beauty of sport is it is black, it's white. You win or you lose. Jamie Carragher has certainly had a better career than Harry Kane. He's won the Premier League as a star. By the way, like Jamie Vardy has, he was the star of a 5,000-1 Premier League win. So, yes, and I don't think, I'll be honest, I don't think that's a hot take. And as Inshlanshla said, clearly Harry Kane's a better player. You can think two things. I think people are smart enough, and football fans are smart enough to go, I would rather have Jamie Vardy's career than Harry Kane's career, even though Harry Kane's a generational player, right? Harry Kane gets a hard time. He's a generational player. Like, that's a proper... I left him out as generational English talent. But if it all ended now, I'd rather have Jamie Vardy's career. A Premier League medal is like... especially in this era, like, unless you play for Man City or Chelsea, no one else is getting them. Like, Mo Salah has one, by the way. People act like Mo Salah's won six. Mo Salah has one, and that's all he's going to get. It's over. It is over. So, yeah, I don't think that's a hot take. I don't think that's a hot take. He finished up by saying, can't wait for the pod on Wednesday. So that's this one. He says, it'll be a humdinger. It's been a bump a couple of weeks, and I know you'll speak some gospel on the ending of the sports season of most sports. So what? There we go. Inshlanshla Gaceni. My man. There you have it. There you have it. How about that? Those are my thoughts. You want to slide in the DMs? MKT and Spies. Instagram's the best one. Otherwise, I'm not really on the other socials. Instagram or X, formerly known as Twitter. I love X. I don't know why people hate it. I don't know why people hate it. It's a sweet platform. All right. I hope you have a great week, whatever you're doing. I'm traveling this weekend. There will obviously be a podcast Monday. Look out on the socials. We will announce over the weekend where we are, what we're doing. But Monday, subscribe, YouTube channel, 12 till 2 p.m. We are back the whole of next week, Monday to Friday, 12 till 2. We will be live. Get in there, interact. I'm hoping to share the podcast. Well, I'm sharing the podcast with a slightly different market, trying to bring some excitement to a world that I love, and a confluence of my two loves, sport and this other sport, football in particular. So keep an eye on that. YouTube, subscribe, be a friend, tell a friend. If you are listening on wherever you are, please leave a rating, 5-star, 1-star, it's okay. Just rate the show, leave a comment. I hate this show. Who is this guy? How come he's got such a Hong Hong accent? Whatever, you know, leave it in there. Whatever you're doing this week, have a great week. I hope you have an amazing time with whoever you're doing it with. If you got a breakup with your side chick, all the best with that, you know. Hopefully your wife doesn't find out, or your girlfriend doesn't find out about that. And, you know, thoughts and prayers. If you've got to leave your side chick, I know she'll love you like no wife ever will. That's also condolences to you there. Otherwise, if you're living your life in general, keep rocking. Keep rocking. Keep making yourself proud. Keep making your mother and father proud. Keep rocking. Keep moving forward. We're nearly halfway through the year. I hope you have set some goals for the back end of the year. If you haven't smashed it out the park, it's all good. It's all good. You've still got 6 months. It's cold now. You're going to sit at home. Going to re-strategize. Hlanganisa. And then from June onwards, you're just going to smash the back end of the year. You're gonna have a big year. Hit those sales targets. Hit those personal targets, and then have a great December, you know? So you've got 4 or 5 months still. It's a long time, eh? It's a long time. If you make a decision now, I would say in the next couple of days, say, you know what? It's cold now. Rather than going out boozing, I'm going to settle down. June is going to be my reset month, because it's basically the end of May now. But in June, you're going to knuckle down, set some goals, speak to some mentors, turn it around for the rest of the year and hit those goals. I hope that can happen for you as we get into an incredible time. If you live in Europe, we are on the way, baby. I am on the way. If you live in Paris, if you live in Germany, I'm gonna be around town. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is MKT. This has been the MKT Show. And for now, I am the hell out of here.